Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Our guest today, Shira Gorin. Shira, it's great to have you on. Thanks so much. And just let us know, first of all, where you're calling in from and what you do for a living with Zygo.
I'm calling in from Playa Vista in LA.
Awesome.
And Zygo is the first and only underwater streaming headset. So if you want to listen to a podcast, an audiobook, or we have an app of guided workouts, it's the only thing that streams audio underwater.
It's incredible. Then I know we just talked about this like just a second ago, right before we started recording, but I've never seen anything like this on the market. I don't think anything like this exists on the market. I mean, I'm sure after your success that's people have maybe tried, but tell us a little bit about your background and getting into this space. I mean, the clear, I usually ask, like, you know, what was the issue you saw on the market to create this product? But I mean, it's pretty obvious that up to this point it doesn't seem like there was anything really viable to use while you're swimming to listen to music like people love to do when they're working out. So that seems to be pretty clear to me. But was your catalyst to really taking the lead to put 2 feet into creating like the brand this way and doing the product development and all the hard things that come along with starting a business?
Yeah, I think you nailed it. My co-founder and I both just wanted to buy the product that we're now making. As two non-swimmers, I played soccer in college and he ran marathons, wanting to get into swim. Like you said, we use audio for every other land-based fitness. And so getting into swim, which for a lot of people who don't grow up swimming, it's monotonous, it's boring, it doesn't have the same sort of like engagement that other fitness options have. We wanted to listen to something when we swam and realized very quickly that the only things that existed were MP3 players, which I'm pretty sure anyone younger than me doesn't own an MP3 player or has never downloaded something onto their computer and transferred the file. We live in a streaming world, or there's like below water speakers that it's kind of like one to many, but like the sound's kind of muffled. It's not the same experience of having like your own podcast, you know, listening to that as you swim. So we wanted the product, realized pretty quickly it didn't exist. And I come from a legal background. He comes from more of like a business background. So again, like not engineered either. Like there's no reason why we're creating this product other than we very much wanted it for personal use. And as we started pulling the thread, realized that we weren't the only ones. And our hypothesis is that it doesn't exist, not because nobody wants to use it, but because it goes against the laws of physics to be able to stream audio underwater. So it's a very hard product to make to begin with, which I think our ignorance kind of helped us believe that we can do it. And two, you know, before SoulCycle and Peloton, spinning was a bit niche. Now it's quite ubiquitous. Like everyone has been on a spin bike. Swimming is a sizable market, but also we believe there's this latent potential within swimming that a lot of people know they should swim or it's a good workout, but they haven't been inspired to swim and it hasn't been kind of like democratized in the same way as other land-based fitness has. And so that really interested us. And then as we saw this opportunity to create first of its kind hardware product, we jumped in because we believed in it and we had support from like people who swim who wanted the product. So it wasn't just like a self-fulfilling prophecy. Very quickly kind of spoke with people in the swim world on different levels, being like, yeah, if you could do that, that'd be amazing.
No, I love that. And just so you know, I mean, with the amount of podcasts that I do, it's like almost everybody that I have come on that does, you know, products like these that like just started a brand, they almost never have like any kind of expertise or like background into what they're making. It's really, really interesting. Like I had somebody on the podcast recently who, I mention this anecdotally all the time, but this guy worked as a software developer for one of the largest like video game studios for like 30 years. And then he just started selling like cashmere sweaters to celebrities like out of nowhere. This is like the exhibit A story of like almost everybody that I talk to. I think to your point, like I think it helps because I think you almost need that little bit of like naivete to like get into doing something like this, not knowing all the things that are going to be like all the challenges that are going to be posed to you, all the challenges in the product development, all the challenges in the marketing and everything. It's funny you say that's definitely a common experience, I find.
I completely agree with that. I think because if you know too much, one, you underestimate kind of the opportunities and potential in the world, and it's really easy to be a naysayer when you're kind of in it, which is also, I mean, it's the same thing. It's like, it's why taxis didn't become Uber, right? Like they were so in their world where they were perfectly set up. Like they should have been that business, but they weren't. Whereas like within swim, I think also like, yeah, swimming is possible without listening to music, but like, can it be better or can it just be for like a different use case? So a lot of people we spoke to in the swim world were used to doing it a certain way. And I think to your point also is that so many either people starting out trying to create a company or people who want to create something, it's not about knowing honestly really anything about like how. It's kind of like the what and the why, kind of that intangible of like the problem you're trying to solve. Because it's really just about being resourceful and finding people along the way who can help you. You can find engineers, you can find people to help you build things. So it's not a matter of knowing everything in your category to start something.
It's so true. And I think, like you said, I think you do yourself a disservice, like coming into something with like, it's called like the curse, like the bias of knowledge in an industry, I think is one of the worst things that you can actually have. So that's really interesting. And I was thinking about something else after you said it too, is just like, you know, you think about like the Pelotons and stuff that are out there. I mean, a lot of people, they didn't bike. A lot of people didn't even like really, weren't even really working out before like Peloton came around. And people just saw that as an entryway to doing something new, to like, you know, do something that everybody wants to do, which is get in better shape. I'm wondering if you have this experience with yours where like people might come across this product and say like, I would love to start swimming. I haven't thought about swimming in years, but like what a cool product. What a cool experience this would be to be able to listen to my stuff like I like to do in my daily life and then also do the thing I've been wanting to do for years. Do you have anything to like support that might be the case for like some people that come along and buy this thing as like almost like a catalyst to like get into something that they have been wanting to do maybe for a long time, which is like maybe swimming?
Yeah. And you know, right now, since we're in our relative infancy, like the low-hanging fruit is people who already swim for fitness. We're not changing behavior. But exactly to your point, I mean, Charlie and I, like my co-founder, we're super students of all things boutique fitness. Like it is fascinating to us the formulas that work. And you take SoulCycle, for example, it was brilliant. Like they put everyday people on bikes and called them athletes and called them warriors. And people were like, yeah, I'm an athlete. I spin. And it's amazing what it does. Because even now, anecdotally, when we talk to people, like unless people are like Olympians, they're like, oh, I'm not really a swimmer. And like our standard is like, would you drown? If the answer is no, you're a swimmer, right? Like we believe everyone can swim and it can be fun. And you don't need to be an amazing swimmer or super competitive to be a good swimmer. But there hasn't kind of been that democratization of everyone being able to swim. And so people come to swim for so many different reasons. A lot of times now we have people who are like, I was a runner, I was a cyclist, and now my knees or my back and my doctor said I should swim. And so they're like, how do I become a swimmer? And so, yeah, I think to your original question of it is there's a lot of people out there that would swim. Like this is our world. This is like the aspirational, right? And we've piloted this. If everyone had a Zygoe, we could have a live class, like you have like a live Peloton class where you could be anywhere in the world. You could be in London, you could be in New York, you could be in LA at 8 a.m. You show up to your pool, you have your headset on, and a coach is coaching you through a guided workout. And they might not have the same level of like visual, but they're telling you what to do. It's paired with fun music. And now you're part of this leaderboard, or like, you know, you're part of a class that like 1,000 people were swimming around the world. So you're taking like a solitary and silent sport and making it more community driven, more engaging. You can have like, you know, like, hey, Matt, you just swam the length of the English Channel, or you just added to like the length of distance that you're team is going for. And so you're making the sport fun and gamifying it the same way that other sports have. And that's what gets us really excited, just because we didn't come from a swim background. And that playbook has played out for land-based fitness in a way that we believe it can happen for swim.
Yeah, no, it's so true. And even from the outside looking in, I mean, kind of learning about this product for the first time today is like, that's where like my mind immediately went, was exactly what you're saying. So there's a lot of really exciting opportunity there, I think. And that's awesome. Especially just thinking about like, you know, obviously, as you mentioned, like, you know, maybe not the infancy, but definitely still in the growth stages of the business. I think it can go any number of like really interesting directions. So that's awesome. I love that story for you guys. And yeah, tell me a little bit about as well. I mean, you know, selling something like this, obviously premium product, premium price point. How do you kind of, you know, picture yourself going forward, like selling this? Are you looking to get into more like retail? I guess, how are you doing it now? And what is, I guess, like your ultimate goal to like where you see this? Is it more in stores, more direct to consumer online? So can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah. So right now we're just D2C. So just on our website. A big reason for that, first, we really launched in September of 2020. So in the thick of COVID. So like really online shopping was kind of like the only option. Also from a product standpoint, our margins weren't healthy enough for anything else besides for direct selling. And also for the first 2 years, Charlie and I were doing every single customer service email. So like anyone that had a problem at anything, we wanted to stay as close to our customer. Like no one knew the pain points more than the two of us, which I think in the beginning of a brand was so important, so we could like really speak to what was going on. Moving forward with the second version, and hopefully at scale and at volume, our costs can come down more. So we can hopefully bring down the costs as it makes sense, so that like it is a premium product, $299. I think like as we bring it down, we would want like everyone to be able to have their streaming headphone for swimming. And in terms of opening up distribution, the kind of like natural player you have to talk about is Amazon. And I think that that would be our first step into broader distribution. Also, as a consumer, I totally get it. A lot of people are probably going just to Amazon to be like underwater headphone, and like we don't sell on there. So I think it would add obviously like a robustness to our sales channel. And then in terms of like bigger box retailers, I think the natural progression after that would be some of the more like bigger, but like boutique fitness or gym. So you have like your Lifetime Fitnesses, you have your Equinoxes that are like a little premium. They have pools, or they already have like a group of people exhibiting the same behaviors that a lot of our customers do. And then I think in terms of like the traditional, like Dick's Sporting Goods, Big Five, things like that, I think it's an open question of one, if the margins make sense. And two, it's probably hard for us to think about as a small company spending so much money on new boxing, new retail packaging just for that moment. I think it's possible, but I think probably the next 12 to 24 months is like opening up Amazon, pushing that. We also are just selling in the US, not even abroad. So I think that would probably be like the next broadening of our scope.
Yeah, I think that's a good outlook. I think a lot of people can go wrong in, you know, getting into retail too early, or like as a whole entire like go-to-market strategy at the beginning. It's really great to have a D2C, whether it's Amazon or whether it's through your own store, as a proof of concept. So you have like a leg to stand on and some leverage going into those conversations with retailers. Because if you don't, the margins are probably never going to make sense. If you do have some leverage, it's already, you know, like showing some success, showing that it's something that, you know, can exist and can perform. I think that's a good way to go about it. So no, that's awesome. I love that. And how do you kind of take to, you know, now that you're selling only through the website now, how do you take to driving, you know, traffic to the website and doing anything as far as like paid advertising? Is it more like social media driven? Can you break that down a little bit for me?
The majority of our marketing spend right now is on paid. Again, kind of like the big players with Facebook or like Meta. So Facebook, Instagram, and Google for paid search. It's kind of like the world that you have to play in with D2C. But for us, kind of taking a page out of a lot of companies during COVID were just bleeding money and growth at all costs. Maybe to our benefit, we were never flushed with cash. So we really had to focus, you know, our CPA and our CAC. That drove how much we spend. We were not like, let's just spend based on revenue. And so we've limited our spend because we're like, we have to keep this number to make like every sale margin positive. And as we grow our margin, obviously, like we'll have a little bit more room to play with. So we do spend on that. We also spend on affiliate marketing, but have also now leaned more into referral with consumers. You know, we have these like interesting micro communities that are popping up as there's more units out in the wild. You have people seeing each other at pools using it. And like, obviously the gold standard would be word of mouth, right? So it's like, how can we keep infiltrating these like clubs or pools where people see it and they're talking about it? We haven't yet, which is part of our strategy for this next product, leaned into like influencer marketing. And when I say that, I mean everyone from like a nano micro influencer to like a true kind of like sports influencer. Just trying to test and see what works. Again, I think this world has become really saturated where it's like, it's not really about like following. It's more like what kind of following you have and the types of people. And for us, I think, you know, our opportunity, but also our challenge is like so many people come to swim for different reasons that it's not just like, oh, a traditional like swim person follows someone who swims. It's like maybe like all around athlete or like a holistic like lifestyle influencer. And so I think that'll be really interesting again, because like the more that we can get away from just like traditional paid, as like a lot is changing in that world and it's becoming more and more expensive, those other avenues are more interesting to us.
It's so true. And I mean, you think about like a general marketing strategy, whether it's with affiliates or whether with paid advertising. I mean, the targeting that you're trying to do is with a very specific type of person, not just somebody who is an athlete. Like that's not niche enough. Maybe not even somebody who like maybe they swim once in a while. Like that's probably not even your niche to this point. That makes sense. You're going about it that way. And I'm sure it's kind of the same, you know, perspective when you think about any paid advertising that you do run. I'm sure it's probably targeted more towards like, you know, people who do swimming as like most of their, you know, like fitness activity, right? Still at this point,
it's mostly people who do like fitness activities, or it's mostly people who swim already, right? So they're already searching for something to enhance what they're already doing. I think your point is well taken, though. It's like you got to test kind of what messaging gets to the person who maybe only swims once a week or even once a month. Right. And then it's like what gets to the person who's like swim curious, you know, if you will. And I think the ways that those things can happen or what will convert them are very different. And so again, like we're just so hyper focused on our numbers, like on CAC and what it costs us, because you can very quickly just like start spending money and not really understanding what's working. And so yeah, I think we're still in that phase where like we have some winners, we have some things that are like the engine is running. Especially because like our age group right now is, it's split male, female, but it's probably more like 40 to 65. And so like that generation is a little more Facebook driven in an interesting way than maybe like the from like 20 to 40, which is like other avenues, you know, like for instance, like we haven't even touched TikTok and we think like, you know, like our product is like, it's fun. It's like for videos or for content. Like I think we can lean into that more. But again, if we're not going to do it well, or we're not going to do it consistently, then we've like held off on different channels before we're ready.
Yeah, no, it's fair enough. And it's always really interesting to think about, you know, you think about like the different types of consumers that could possibly be a fit for a product like this and like which levels of like awareness they are as a consumer, whether they're problem aware, solution aware, all the general stuff you usually talk about. It's really interesting how that kind of transpires to different like, you know, consumer groups within like all these different products of people that I have on the podcast. It's always a really interesting like thought experiment to like, you know, a person who's like, I can't forget the term you just used a second ago, like you swim curious. It's like a, yeah, like it's a great term. And land-based fitness, I think you said, that's another great term. I think that those could be like really big social media, like kickers for you to like have people like use those terms. And they're like fun. And people are like, that's such a funny way to put that. You know? No, that's awesome. I absolutely love that. And one question I always love to ask everybody that comes on the podcast is just, you know, obviously since I think you mentioned 2020 was your first like kind of year in the market. So if you could go back to, you know, that time, obviously it was during COVID. So barring like, I wish I saw COVID coming, what would be the biggest piece of advice you would give yourself if you go back to kind of the inception of the brand right at your launch?
I think we were very eager to get the product to market, which I mean, I still feel it now. And after like 3 years of development, you know, we felt like it was time. And I think lingering in the back of my head, I think maybe Reed Hastings said it. It's like, if you're not embarrassed by your first product, you went to market too late sort of thing. So it's like, that's always kind of playing. But with hardware, it's hard because like, if you get something wrong, it's like, it's a very costly thing. And I don't know that we went too early, but I think we were probably more eager as like, not to say that we're not young, but like as like young kids, like with our first product, which like now I think we have just like a little more patience around some of the ways we're going about getting the second version to market. And I think that would probably be the biggest thing. I think otherwise, like, again, like I said, like for better or worse, we've just always had to be like lean. Like we haven't really overspent on things because we just couldn't. And so I think besides for COVID being the hard part of COVID was like a part of our strategy was like really to show up to pools to be like on deck, swimming with it, meeting people in person. And that just couldn't happen either. So not that we could have changed that, but I think that changed a lot of kind of how we went about things.
I think in retrospect is a good perspective. And it's definitely something I hear from other people with that exact quote, which is like, if you're not embarrassed by your first product, you went to market too late. I think it's true. And I think the more that comes up and anybody like that follows the podcast, I think that reiteration is important because it is a really important point when you're starting out, especially in something that might be a brand new industry for you. I mean, I've had people come on that for their whole lives, 30, 40 years, and they're just getting into like a, you know, a packaged good thing for the first time. Maybe they're in software or doing something else, or like a service-based industry. And there's a really steep learning curve, and you can put it off and put it off until you think you have it perfect for your initial launch. But no, and then to your point, it's a fair nuance as well to think about. If you're doing a premium product that's hardware that is like, you know, $299, and the cost to produce that is like pretty high too, you do need to have that, I think, that little bit of nuance perspective where like, yes, like that adage may be true a lot of the time, but you know, if you are working out something that does have a high cost to produce as well, maybe you err on like the little bit side of like maybe a little more delay. So it's definitely a fair point. So I appreciate that. And yeah, just want to give you an opportunity as well before we hop off here, Shira, just to you know, plug the website, any social media pages, anybody listening might be interested in checking out the product or maybe partnering with you in any capacity. What's the best way to stay in touch with you all?
Yeah, so our website is www.shopzygo.com, and it's ZYGO. On Instagram, we are at Zygogram, ZYGOGRAM. And my email is Shira@zygoco.com. Feel free to email me. We're pretty responsive. We love hearing from people. And I think, you know, with any brands or any consumer, whether they're already a swimmer or they want to get into swimming, I think it's important for us to also, like, while we're a tech product, we're like two humans that just like, now we love swimming, and it can be as fun as your spin class, as your boxing class, as your Pilates class, and just feel like, you know, swimming, objectively speaking, is a very good cardio sport, and want more and more people to feel like comfortable in the water, and that it's a fun part of their, if not weekly, then monthly routine.
That's awesome. Well, Shira, I just want to say thank you again for coming on. I love what you're doing with this brand. I appreciate all of your insights, and just want to wish you the best of luck, continued success, and I really look forward to keeping in touch with you as well.
Thanks, Matt. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Shira. Thanks, everybody.